fills up our plates. Papa's saying grace. Louisiana living sweet as sugar on beignet.
Welcome to the Story Table, brought to you by Providence Church in Lake Providence, Louisiana, where they want you to know that you are loved. Today we're visiting with Denise Hildreth Jones, author, Bible teacher, and the passionate woman behind ReclaimingHeartsMinistries.org.
I wish you could see my face and you would know how excited I am to visit with this dear friend of mine on the podcast today. Like, my face is probably cracking right now or getting frozen in this big cheesy grin because I love this woman. Her name is Denise Hildreth Jones. Told you a little bit about her in the open, but I am just going to pause and let Denise now tell you something about herself. Hello, Denise.
Hi, my friend.
Oh,
so good to see you.
So good to see you. I'm just grinning at you.
I am too.
Oh, I miss you.
I know. Isn't it something how you just have those heart connections through the years that the Lord brings you that just bring joy even when you don't get to do daily life together?
Just one more of those things that you're like, can't deny this sweet Jesus and his presence in our life is just one aspect of that. Because as far as actual clock time that you and I have had in one room,
yeah,
very little, right?
Very little. Yeah.
Very little. But we know each other.
We do.
Because we bend at the same throne. We kneel at the same throne. And that has bonded us. So for those who are listening, who do not know my friend Denise, tell me something about Denise and what you're doing these days.
Well, Denise is, I live in Nashville, been mm-hmm. here about 30 some years since I graduated college a lifetime ago, and walked through a painful divorce about almost 14 years ago, I guess. And was writing all during that time and was really at just a real shutdown place when I left that marriage, Shelley. And it's so interesting because as I've kind of processed and pondered all those years, I realized that a lot of the fiction the Lord allowed me to write was really him trying to woo my heart back to life. And I don't think I even realized it.
Yeah.
Back then it took a little distance and perspective to realize that. And then God brought a precious man who had 5 children and I had never had children, still to this day, I've never had children, which has been one of my, probably the most painful place in my story that
right.
I still struggle with. And they were from when we married, they were 13 to 7 and now they are 24 to 18. So it's been like drinking water from a fire hydrant. Yeah. It's not private.
You didn't ease into parenting.
No, so I've been in therapy a really long time.
You joking?
Just when I think I graduate, they turn a different age, and I have to go back.
Yeah, well, that is continuing to happen to us all, even as your friend parents, you know, because that's where I am right now. And learning that balance of continuing to want to parent them and love them, but recognize who they are and who, you know, what God's doing in their life and the life of those grands, and just walking that balance of just loving them and letting them be grown-ups when you still want to parent them. So it's still out there for you, Denise. It's just going to keep happening.
I know. It just looks different, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. But what we have to bind us together in it is this sweet Jesus. And I know that as you and I were speaking earlier before I hit record, and I was telling you how I watch what you're doing from a distance. And I'm the one cheering. If you can hear someone in the background, I'm just cheering. And the reason I wanted to talk to you when I thought, you know, who do I want to come on to really have a conversation that could bring value to the people that are listening? Because good gracious, there are plenty of places to get information. Yes. And
yes,
where they can be hearing and listening and reading. And so if they trip across the story table, what can I bring them that would leave some value? And so as I consider that question, I thought of how I watch you from a distance, taking all that pain. And I just choked up and I don't even know why. But taking that pain that you just referred to a few moments ago, and I have watched you use it to help other people in the ministry of reclaiming hearts.
Thank you, Shelley.
Talk to me about that ministry.
Trusting me with your audience. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Reclaiming Hearts was just birthed out of my own story. And after my divorce, I just remember walking into my counselor's office and I said to him, I said, whatever got me here, I want it out of me.
Wow.
And I went on an intentional search and journey with my Heavenly Father to really repent of what I had done with my heart, to really listen to what he wanted to reveal that I didn't even recognize. And as I walked out that journey, I realized how shut down I was and all the different ways I was shut down. And that journey birthed the book, Reclaiming Your Heart, which is really the signature piece of what we do in the ministry. We do weekend experiences where we take the principles in that book and break them down into a weekend intensive. And we just kind of, you know, our hearts, the enemy is always trying to get us to believe a lie about God, really, ultimately.
Constantly, you know, always.
Think he's trying to get us to believe lies about us or other people, but ultimately.
Ultimately about God and his lack of faithfulness to us.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. So it breaks down into like eight hearts: performance, fear, critical control, anger, disappointment, weariness, shame. And we just walk through those and how we get there and what does recognizing it look like? What does repenting of it look like? And what does really replacing the lie with the truth of God's word look like? And those weekends have just been the, of all the things I get to do in this life, there's nothing I love more than those weekends, because you watch people come in and now we've done them for so many years. Like we almost laugh when we, because you can get people so resistant and some people will leave that way. You know, not everybody is going to take what's set at the table. But for the most part, they leave like completely different people. And it is just a joy to watch.
And because of this win-win God, it's one of my favorite descriptions of him. He is the original win-win God, right?
For sure.
Because he puts you in that position. And I hear you saying nothing has meant more to you and has ministered more to you. And I'm praising him again, because in that pouring out, you get your joy. He restores you. He gives you joy as you pour out into their lives and help them reclaim their hearts. You can't outgive him. You can't outlove him. You can't outdo. I mean, the more you give of your life to him, the more of his life pours into you. Right?
And it's the truth. Honestly, my greatest moments of surrender, of personal surrender, have come after those weekend experiences, because you are, it's exactly what you're saying. You're so full from the gift of being able to give out of the comfort despair, as scripture says, to other people. And I remember after one of the weekends, it was just this moment where there was a young woman that was there and she couldn't have children. And she had had multiple miscarriages, and it was just a beautiful weekend of healing. And I remember leaving there and saying, Lord, if you never have children for me, if you can make ministry this sweet. And then a couple years later, she ended up getting pregnant. And I have this like cedar chest of all these baby clothes I've saved through the years.
Right,
That I would find and think, oh, I love that, and I would buy it. And I just felt like the Lord said, I want you to give her one of these pieces of clothing. And I remember packing it up, and it was very important to me that it was beautiful.
Yeah.
That it was just this beautiful gift. And I remember packing it up and driving to the post office. Mm. And I remember on the way home, this sense of the Lord's pleasure.
Yes. Yes.
Was so overwhelming that I had to pull the car over. God is such an inviter. And sometimes we resist the invitations because they feel punitive.
Yes.
Because they're so counter to what we want.
Yeah.
And it's like children are a good thing, right? You know, he told Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply. Yeah. Those are good things.
Those are good things.
And yet sometimes he looks at a heart and he tells you that Isaiah 54 is your covenant with him. And it's single barren, you who have not born. Oh. For more are the children of the desolate woman. And so God just doesn't do things the way we do them. And life is an invitation of surrender. Mm. And when we realize that what he gives in return of what he invites us to surrender is never wanting.
No. It's an abundance. It is abundance when he asks you to lay it down. And so here's your friend with full disclosure saying, I have been on this obsessive journey of desiring to just live yielded, wholly yielded, and offering him everything and just living, dying for years. And I tell him every morning, I have to start all over. The next morning, Denise, I have to start all over. And so I love to talk to people about that so that they don't think they're crazy. Well, I probably am, but so that they aren't surprised, you know, once they lay something down, that it can hurt again the next day, or that it can come back to them the next day. And I can get on my box and use up all of our time talking about that, because it's the very reason he asked us to live dying. I mean, in other words, we are going to continue to live. And the dying is supposed to be with the living because he is ever present. And where we get confused is that we want to live dead, like live, you know, like do it, right? I want to do it. And I don't want to feel that again when it comes back up. But he invites us to live dying. And oftentimes that does mean continuing to live with that rawness of what still hurts, you know, and yet it's a, could you say it hurts good? Because it hurts, but because he's present in it as you're giving it to him, it's good.
Exactly.
It's hard to explain. Do you ever feel like you can never exhaust enough words, like you can never use enough words to help someone? Right. And to invite them in. So I want to talk to you some more about invitation, but I want to read something. I had grabbed my phone earlier and thinking about invitation, I thought, Denise and I want to look at this. All right. So, you know, often we think of Christ's invite, and I love it in Matthew where he said, come unto me, you know, the original invite. The joy is found in the continual coming, that continual coming. And if we don't continue to come, and then I'm going to toss this back to you after I read this, then we do not get to live out this scripture. So this is Revelations, and it is 21:17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who is here say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. And so in our continual coming, then we are able to invite others to come and enjoy that invitation.
Yes, which is the ultimate invitation, right? Yeah. It's like, isn't it just like God to, you know, open the book with this invitation to life, to abundant life that he gives Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
And then the enemy comes in with the seed of doubt. Doubt about who? About God. He says, did God really say?
Yeah.
Did God really say, Adam? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Really did you hear that right? Yeah.
Yeah. And then to bring Jesus and then to end it with home.
Yes.
And, you know, the one of the things that I've really been curious with about the Lord in this season where that is so different from any we've ever known, it's like, Lord, you're present in every season. So what are you saying in this one?
Yeah.
And I truly believe that this moment is for the church more than it's for the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe that the church has forgotten the first love. You know, when he talks to the church of Ephesus in the very first letter to the churches in Revelation, he said, you did all of this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was good. You did it with a good heart and integrity and excellence, but you've forgotten what it is to be in love with me. And that to me is such an invitation. You know, in the book of Hosea, he says, I lured her into the wilderness so I could speak tenderly to her.
Why am I not even surprised? I'm sorry. Why am I not even surprised that you would bring up Hosea? When I spent so much time there, my kindred spirit friend, and the invitation that is so beautiful in that book to continue to come, to just continue to come. And he says, I know you did that. I know you went off. I know you went off and played the adulterer. I know it, but come. I know you did this, but come. It's always, and one of my favorite parts of that book, the Lord, I would grab my Bible and find it and read it aloud. But so this is going to be a Shelley paraphrase.
Okay.
But he basically says, you did this and you did this and you did this. And it's a list of all the grievances. And so now I will. And so in our world, in our understanding, in our thinking, here comes the discipline and the retribution and the punishment, right? And instead he says, so I will allure you back to me.
Right.
And we go, wait, what?
Yes.
What?
That's the exact passage I'm talking about.
Oh,
he said, I will allure you into the wilderness.
Yes. Yeah.
And so it feels like that we have been allowed to walk into a wilderness, but then he says, but you're going to be fruitful there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the natural, fruit doesn't grow in a wilderness.
Right.
You know, it just doesn't happen. Only God can grow fruit in a wilderness. Yeah. And that's what I believe the invitation in this season has been. And I believe the enemy has been a master at getting our eyes off of what God has invited us into.
Yeah.
In this moment in time for his church specifically, because he is coming back for his bride. He's not coming back for virgins who have no oil in their lamps. He's coming back,
For a bride.
For a bride that's ready and looking.
And looking and yearning for him.
That's right.
Mm. I love that. And sometimes I think, can I have a do-over? Can I have a pandemic do-over? You know, because I've learned so much and I can look back and see time that I wasted, time that I took advantage of, time that I, you know, that I did it all kinds of myriad of different ways, you know, frustration and acceptance. Often kind of walking hand in hand, like confusion and discernment, you know, all of this. And so I think, Lord, can I have a pandemic do-over? I think I would walk into it differently, right, than I do now. But we weren't prepared And as naturally, of course we aren't, you know, we had never witnessed anything like that. But yet again, there comes the invitation of our sweet Jesus that just meets us now where we are and says, okay, so you regret some of the things you didn't do through the pandemic, Shelley. The things you did do. Well, let's just talk about them all and choose the best and go forward.
That's right. Right, because what he does inside that wilderness is he speaks tenderly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love about it. It's like you expect him to be harsh or judging, but he's wooing and inviting. And this is the season of that. This is the season of that kind of grace. And that season won't be here always.
But
he is such an inviter. Years ago, the whole thing that illuminated me to of God being an inviter, it's a crazy story, but anybody that knows me knows I'm like professed Coca-Cola, McDonald's specifically addict. Like, I don't try to hide it. I don't want deliverance from it. I don't do a lot in this life. I don't smoke, dip. I don't cuss often. You know, like, please don't take my Coke. So a few years ago, after a weekend experience, I was sitting there. I was all by myself. Our whole team had gone. Philly had gone. I was in this restaurant, not a single person on the porch out there with me. And I'm just having this sweet moment with the Lord. And I've always dreamed of having a home at that particular beach that we were at. Like, it was just a heart dream.
Right.
And I remember sitting there and I was like, Lord, I just want you to know, like, this is a huge surrender when you surrender something you don't even have.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Lord, I just want you to know that I will surrender ever having a beach home. You've just made this weekend so sweet.
Yeah.
And I hear that gentle voice in my spirit, you know, how the Holy Spirit speaks in our hearts and inside our spirits. Yes. And I hear this question. But would you give up Coke for a year? And I was like, that is a devil.
I am so sure that was not you.
There is no way that is God. And Shelley, God is my witness. I looked up.
Yeah.
And there was, I've been in this restaurant, I can't tell you how many times, and I've never seen this before. It was the largest Coca-Cola sign you would ever want to see. And I was mad.
Yeah.
I'm the kind of person, if I know God's asking me something, I'm far more afraid of not doing it than I am of doing it.
I get that.
And I was so angry. And because it felt punitive.
Uh-huh.
I thought, I have given you everything.
And you want my cup?
For my Coke. Who are you? And so the next morning I got up and I went on a run, and I don't even run. It's like I was trying to run away from him and this request. And I'm on this run and I'm like, I finally stopped because I couldn't breathe. And I said, Lord, okay, just tell me why.
Yeah.
Tell me why. And I felt like he said, you don't have to, but I'm inviting you into something with me, exceedingly abundantly above and beyond more than you can ask or think. And I was like, and it was settled.
Yeah.
It was one of the hardest things I've ever walked through.
Right.
But it was settled. And I remember going back to the house where I was staying and I was like, okay, I am going to look up this date in history because there must have been the Azusa Street revival that happened on this day in history, because this is going to be a marker revival moment. And do you know what day it was in history? This is how comical the Lord is.
It was
the day the very first Coca-Cola was ever sold.
Shut up.
Ever sold.
No way.
Yes.
No way.
Isn't that crazy?
That is so, God, that is so hilarious.
You know, he was laughing.
Oh, he had to
film
have
it. Like,
I
you
definitely,
cannot make that up.
You can't. I can definitely see him just rolling. I mean, just I picture there's a story I tell about something that happened in my life, but I'll cut to the end of it. I've told people I often see in that moment, Father God going, "Come here, Michael. You have got to see this. You got to see this. You know, come here, Gabriel. This is going to be good. You know," and I imagine them have something like that happening when they're watching you look it up. You know, and God's like, "Oh, she's going to get a kick out of this, or she's going to get madder. I don't know which one."
Yeah. No, I was like, I did. I laughed out loud. I was
so
like,
you went a year. So you went a year.
I went a year, and it was not the first. I would say 3 months were really hard. Like I was angry, and I told myself and the Lord, because I always got McDonald's gift cards on my birthday, and I was like, now Lord, if I get a McDonald's gift card on my birthday, that is a gift. So you cannot tell me that I can't use a gift on my birthday.
How funny we
Shelly,
are.
Yeah. On my birthday,
no
not
one.
Even my mother, who always sends me a McDonald's, not even my mom sent me a McDonald's gift card. And that was the moment that it broke.
Yeah.
That I truly abandoned to what he wanted to do. And it ended up being one of the sweetest years. And I truly believe that, and as I process that passage, you know, more in Ephesians, it's, I'm going to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond more than you ask or think, according to the power that works
in you. There it is. There
and
it is.
What I realized was he was taking me to a deeper level of authority, of anointing, and of power. And my teaching changed from that point.
Yeah,
I could pinpoint when the anointing on my life to teach the word of God changed, and it was after that year.
And that's what I want to say about his invitations.
Right.
You know, we were reading earlier that passage where the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come," that I read you, right? And that is one of the things that is just beyond endearing to me. It's just a mystery I cannot even ever come to fathom, that he not only says, "Come," but then he says, "Now let's go get them." You know, I mean, it's like now us.
Now,
I mean, it's not Christ saying, "Come." He's continuing saying, "Come" to us. But as he's saying, he's going, "And now that you're coming, come with me, and I will make you fishers of men." And then he begins to pour your life out. And that is one of the surprises of this walk with Christ that happens constantly, is understanding how precious, how much life is involved in saying come and sharing that life when we're just living like that vessel that he can just flow through. And and do not even misunderstand me, anyone out there listening as saying that I have arrived and now if y'all would just get with me, we'll all, you know, fix this thing. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that every day of my life I have to surrender. But the preciousness of that surrender is that's when I get to experience him, to live in him. When I'm surrendered, I get to live in him. And when you get to live in him, you can't help but say, "Come," and turn into an inviter.
Mm-hmm. You can't. And I think that's what the John 10:10 abundant life is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I truly believe that, you know, that is where abundant life is found.
Oh, man, that's good. But what is he inviting you into currently? Can you put words to that?
I can. It's a little crazy. He, you know, I've led this ministry now for a decade, and I had become, you know, fundraiser, employer, chief officer, you know, head of the board. I mean, just all these things that were not feeding me. And I felt like at the end of 2019, the Lord said, I'm inviting you back to what I've called you to, which is writing and teaching. And so we're in the middle of building a space and a place to house our weekend experiences where we're not dependent on other people anymore. So I'm kind of in the middle of that project. And
now is this, do you have, when you say we, who is your we?
Philly is always my we. Usually it just means me, because whenever he says, babe, why don't we, I'm like, no, you're just telling me what I need to be doing. So Philly is always my we.
Okay. All right. I didn't know if we had a we board.
We do have a we employees.
Okay.
But usually it's me and Philly figuring out what God's asking me.
And where can people, okay, two questions about Reclaiming Hearts as our time looks like it's winding up here. One, do you need to be a couple to come to Reclaiming Hearts, or can you come as an individual? And then two, where can everybody learn more about Reclaiming Hearts?
You can go to reclaiminghearts.org. Mm-hmm. Or you can go to denisehildreth-jones.com. Either one will get you there.
Okay.
And we are, when we do weekend experiences, we have different ones. Sometimes they're for couples. Sometimes they're women only. Sometimes they're for pastors and ministry leaders. They usually have a different emphasis. Sometimes we do co-eds where we have married and single. So we do all kinds. We're still in the COVID thing. Not sure what the next one's going to look like. We're hoping to have one this year.
Yeah.
But we're not quite sure. So, but I think we'll be back in full force by 2022. What is it? Yeah.
I watched your brain go, what is it? What year is it? Where are we? Yeah. I mean, because isn't that what we've done for a year? You know, what day is it? Who am I? Okay. All right. Well, is there anything else about this beautiful invitation from Christ Jesus that you want to talk about that I probably talked over you and didn't give you time to say before I let you go?
No, I would just encourage everyone listening to really be curious about the interruptions.
Oh, that's good.
Be curious about the tugs of surrender. Be curious about the steps of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Be curious about the places where forgiveness needs to come.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of looking at them as something to be resisted, receive them as an invitation. Because for those of us who are God's children, He is always inviting us into something good.
That's always good. Because He can't do otherwise.
He can't. It's His nature.
It's His nature to be good, to do good. Psalms 119 buried right there in the middle. You are good. You are good and you do good. I love those words. Teach me your commandments. Years ago, we'll finish on this story. So my husband and I, now Denise's husband is Philly, that you've heard her refer to a couple of times. And my listeners know I often call him the beloved farmer, but that would be my feel. But several years ago, it's been a number, but Phil began to want to memorize scripture. And it was something that I had done, you know, for a long time. But I don't know, maybe our men are a little slower to that sometimes, wanting to, you know, memorize scripture. That's one of the first ones. We took different verses together as a couple and would commit those to memory. And that's one of the first ones that I encouraged him to learn. And we said together, because all of the Bible hangs right there.
It does.
You are good and you do good. Teach me your commandments. And even in the invitations that seem hard, those sayings of Christ that seem hard, I'm reminded of the crowd when Jesus began to talk about his life as the bread and the blood, and they must drink and eat. And remember, the crowd said, this is hard. This is hard. And it says many of them left. That's when many of them walked away, because they said it's a hard saying. And even in those hard moments, there is an invitation there that Jesus, you know, remember he turned to the disciples. He said, are you going to go? Are you going to go too? And I see in that
we... go
right where we go. That's what they said.
Where we go.
This is where Christ brings us all, in the hard invitations, because life, Denise and I aren't even pretending that all the invitations, you heard her invitation to give up her Coke wasn't an easy invitation, but beyond that, the loss, the divorces, the pain, the health crisis, is all the hard things of life that can cause us to go, this is hard. This is not what I wanted. This is not what I meant. Yeah. And Jesus says to us, Denise, where will you go?
That's right.
And when we've tasted, we can be like the disciples that say, where else will we go? You know, I mean, like, this is hard, but where else would we go? You alone have the words of life.
That's right.
Yeah. So even in those hard invitations, my friends, press in and be honest enough to tell him, this is hard. I don't like it. This is hard. But you have the words of life. And listen. Denise, thank you so much for visiting with me today. I think we actually need about 3 hours. But
over a really large McDonald's Coke.
And I'll have a big coffee. There was a season when he asked me to give up my coffee too. And you know how I am about my coffee. I think I had claw marks on the cup. I'm like, my coffee? Are you serious? Yeah, but that's another story for another day. All right. Denise Hildreth Jones visiting with me from ReclaimingHearts.org. Look her up and learn from her. You can thank me later. Thanks, Denise.
Thank you.
I love you.